give every man more in use value than you take from him in cash value, then you are adding to the life of the world by every business transaction. Yes, 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 yes. Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, folks, whatever you think about comes about. Whatever you focus on grows. Chapter 6 of the Science of Getting Rich, we read this idea that you should give every man more in use value than you take from him in cash value. By doing this, you add to the life of the world by every business transaction. The products, the services, the things that we sell should add more to people's life than the money they're giving you. Think about the idea of an exchange for a book. If you write a book and in the book you have some nuggets and some wisdom and some information and you charge $20, the book isn't worth $20. You can print the book for less than a dollar. And you're charging 19 times the cost of what it costs to produce the product, but the information could change their life. And so with each transaction, you sow the possibility of life-changing transformation to other people by adding to the value and to life and to the world. In chapter 6 of The Science of Getting Rich, we see this idea of how riches come to you. See, the book is a blueprint. It's a way in which you can live your life, you can structure yourself to grow richer, not only in money, but in life. In life. See, if you are a wise person, and when people bump into you, when people communicate with you, when people read your posts, when people interact with you, when people do business with you, they come away feeling better, more prosperous, more life, then you are sowing seeds of what? Of prosperity. And I live by this idea that what you give away, you get to keep. What you give away, you get to keep, and it's a basic principle in marketing. If you want more subscribers, give away something of value, of perceived value. HBO would give away 2-3 weeks of HBO. You begin watching it. You see the value of the entertainment and the television. You get hooked on Game of Thrones, and next thing you know, you're a subscriber. I built my downline building network company. We're involved in network marketing, and I did this by giving away value for free. I wrote a book I called The Money Flow, in which I explained how I went from being this poor guy living in a trailer park in Arkansas using some basic marketing strategies. I created a blueprint. I wrote it down in a book called The Money Flow, and literally I just give it away. Because what you give away, you get to keep. And so as I sowed my idea of prosperity into the world and gave people, hey, here's an option for you. It's not for everyone, but here is an option. Here's something you could do. And it's my prosperity prospered them. My prosperity prospered them. When I say you do not have to drive sharp bargains, I do not mean that you do not have to drive any bargains at all, or that you are above the necessity for having any dealings with your fellow men. I mean that you will not need to deal with them unfairly. You do not need to have to get something for nothing, but you can give every man more than you take from him. That's a little different than trying to haggle someone down or being the cheapskate who wants the lowest price and I've got to have a deal in every transaction. See, the guy who does that is literally stealing from the world. So when you go in and you want to beat up the car salesman, you don't want him to have any money, you don't want to leave any meat on the bone, you're literally stealing from the world. When you beat up your realtor and you don't want to leave anything on the bone for them, and so you treat your salesman with utter disrespect because you want the best deal, all you're doing is hurting yourself. Took me a while to understand this. See, I want everyone who comes away with a transaction for me to get more than they asked for. One of the products that I sell is mailing lists, targeted mailing lists for people who are doing promotions and various things through the mail. And I want them to get great value from my list, because I want them to order again. And if I over-deliver, guess what? They come back. You cannot give every man more in cash market value than you take from him, but you can give him more in use value than the cash value of the thing you take from him. The paper, the ink, and other material in this book may not be worth the money you pay for it, but the ideas suggested by it bring you thousands of dollars. You have not been wronged by those who sold it to you. They have given you great use value for a small cash value. This is how I justify selling my book, The Mentalist, for $299. Because of the information contained and the value proposition it offers. I offer a resale thing. I have this whole system for how I sell the book without talking to people directly, and it's all through the mail. And they earn $200 on every sale, and I earn $100. Why would I pay them $200 and I get $100? Because I want every transaction, just like we read, give every man more in use value than you take from him in cash value, then you are adding to the life of the world by every business transaction. I want to add to the world by every business transaction. It is better to give than to receive. You see how I begin to mold this book into my business? You see how every single stinking chapter in this book is actually implemented and applied to my life? Look at some of the titles of the chapters. Some of you have this book and you haven't read it. Chapter number one, The Right to Be Rich. It establishes that you have a right. That all things that have been created are available for your use, you just have to claim them. Chapter 2, There Is a Science. He begins to establish that there is a way, there is a path, there is a way for you to get rich. This is one of the first questions that I ask people. When I meet young people and we're talking, they're like, oh, what do you want to do when you grow up? My son's 16, so a lot of the people that we interact with are at that age where they're becoming adults. And they're talking, and I always ask them the same thing. It always aggravates my family. How do you get rich doing that? And they're like, huh? You said you wanted to be a fireman. You said you wanted to be a cop. You said you wanted to be a teacher. You wanted to be an engineer. You wanted to be a doctor. How do you get rich doing that? They never have an answer. I say, you should solve that question first. Chapter number 3 is opportunity monopolized? Of course not. Chapter number 4, The Principle of the Science of Getting Rich. So he lays down the foundation. And principle number 5, Increasing Life. Just what I said to you. Why would I sell a book for $300? Because I want to pay the people that helped me sell it $200. I want to add increase in life. Chapter number 6 that we're reading now, How Riches Come to You. Chapter number 7 is followed with gratitude. In other words, no matter where you're at right now, no matter what job you have, no matter what you're doing, if you're not grateful for the job that you have, you should quit it. Because if you hold a job that you're ungrateful for, you're telling the universe that you're a spoiled brat. And so if you take money from a job, but you actually hate the job, you will always be poor. See, there's something magical that begins to happen when you start to like a job that you hated. If you're a student or follow Grant Cardone, he talked about this. He was a car salesman. He hated car sales. And he decided to become the best car salesman in history, and he went on to get rich. And that's how it works. See, I don't like network marketing. This is why I don't pitch friends and family, and I don't give two craps whether you join my organization or not. Doesn't matter to me. I'm going to do me. I'm going to follow the principles in the book, and lots of people are going to join. So I don't need to fret. I don't need to fret because I have a blueprint. I have a strategy. I have a method that's bigger than me. It works bigger. It's bigger than me, and it's proven. And so while everyone else frets and frattles and, oh, how do I do that? I don't need to do that. Because I have a strategy. I have a strategy that benefits the world. And in every transaction, I offer people more in value than I ask for. And chapter eight is entitled Thinking in a Certain Way. So he begins to work with your thinking. And in chapter 9 is how to use the will. See, the will is the actual rocket fuel. You know, jets go up in the air and it's pushing against gravity, but it's the fuel, right? If it has the right kind of fuel in it, it can go fast enough to break through the atmosphere. And that's where the use of the will. Most people don't have will. They have the will of, they have no will. They have no backbone. They have no strength. First little adversity, they cry, quit. This is beautiful. See, this is good for me and you because most people are such wussies that me and you, by our nature, by having a backbone, by having a will, by standing upon our own two feet and realizing that we are in total control of our life, have an advantage over everyone else who's so spineless. And they're weak. They can't control their own minds. Transactions with them don't benefit the rest of the world. They're miserly. They want to get over on every salesman and get everything for as cheap as they can. And if that's you, shame. You'll always be poor. Chapter 10 is entitled The Further Use of the Will. He devotes two chapters to will. You need to read it. When someone author promotes two chapters, part one, part two of the same subject, it might be important. Chapter number 11 is talking about acting in a certain way. So you can't just sit around thinking. This is how it all starts, right? You form a thought and you hold it in the formless substance, but that's not enough. Because if it's faith, the Bible says faith without works is dead. In other words, if you just talk, and most people do that, they're just all talk, 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 talk. They don't ever back it up. I say this all the time. I've created one of the easiest business opportunities in the world. Literally, all you have to do is write some letters, and they don't do that. People will fight to defend the right to be poor. They will take actions by not taking an action to insist that they stay poor. In other words, they won't take actions that could fix their problems because, damn it, it might actually fix their problem, and now they're responsible for that. Where if they take no action at all, they can blame others. I'm telling you, this is how people think. Chapter 12 is called effective action. What does effective action mean? What does it look like? Thomas Edison's famous for his quote that a lot of people miss opportunity because it's dressed in overalls and it looks a lot like work. Chapter number 13, getting into the right business. This is extremely important. But part of along this idea of getting into the right business is realizing that you're in business right now. And you should do it correctly. Chapter number 14 is this impression of increase. People should feel like they're going to receive increase by doing business with you. My plumbers love me. My electricians love me. My roofers love me. Why? Because I do what I say. I pay on time. I don't haggle them. Whatever price they say, I say good deal, and I pay them. I'm not trying to beat them down. I want them to be prosperous because they're on my team. I want everyone around me to prosper, not just me. The reason I do these messages, you don't pay me. No one in my 1,000-plus sales organization pays me anything. They don't pay me. I consult for free. Why? Because I'm trying to add increase. I'm trying to add value. And the universe is not so screwed up that it doesn't reward those who do that. Chapter number 15, the advancing man. Man is plural. It's generic for the world. Chapter number 16, some cautions and concluding observations. And chapter 17 is the summary of the science of getting rich. And you might could read that every morning. We're going to skip past the picture. Is the product you sell, it doesn't matter the price, if it potentially gives them value that exceeds the price. So a training course that's $200, if it's going to teach you how to buy real estate, well, then it's worth $200, right? That just makes sense. Now, to the misery, to the poor-minded, to the guy who can't see past the $200, no, he'll never accumulate wealth and riches because he won't even invest in himself. I have people all the time that do business with me, and I have a track record of being a great direct mail network marketer, and I'm showing them what I do every day, how I've created this very successful business, and I make money, and here's how I do it, and here's my strategy, and I just give it away, and they don't act on it because people literally fight to defend the right to be poor. They will fight you. As soon as you say, hey, here's the thing. Here's the course. Just here, use it. Oh, they begin to tell you all the reasons as if we're standing in court and they're defending their position not to improve. If you can make your business do for your employees, subscribers, affiliates, whatever, do what this book is doing for you. So you can conduct your business that it will be sort of a ladder by which every person who will take the trouble may climb to the riches himself, and given the opportunity, he will not do so. If he does not do so, it is not your fault. And so what does that mean? That means people who join me, who come in me, who do business with me, and if they don't do well, that ain't my fault. You notice he called it trouble? Like, it's trouble. It's trouble to build a business. It's trouble. There's issues. More money, more problems. Isn't that Jay-Z says that? More money, more problems. Every moment when I wake up in the morning, most of my day is putting out fires. The moment I walk into my office, there's 8, 9 notes. There's 4 or 5 pissed off people. There's this, there's that. It's just problem after problem after problem. More money, more problems. Because you are to cause the creation of your riches from the formless substance which permeates all your environment, it does not follow that you are to take shape from the atmosphere and to come into being before your eyes. In other words, just because you think something, it's not going to appear, obviously, right? So if you wanted a sewing machine, for instance, I do not mean to tell you that you are to impress your thought of the sewing machine and think in substance until the machine is formed with out hands in a room where you sit or elsewhere. Now, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, the formless substance, you need to get into the book, maybe listen to some of the early recordings. This is when you hold a thought in your mind, when you pray, when you think, when you meditate, that space, that's formless substance. It's where prayers go. That's why positive thinking works. Where when you focus on something and you think about it, I open up when you, what you focus on, you know, what you're thinking about and what you're focusing on, that's what grows because you're holding that mental image in your mind. But if you want a sewing machine, hold the mental image with it with the most positive certainty that it is being made and that it's on its way to you. After once forming the thought, you have the most astute and unquestioning faith that the sewing machine is coming. Never think of it or speak of it in any other way as to being sure that it'll arrive. Claim it as yours. It will be brought to you by the power of the supreme intelligence. Now listen to this. Acting upon the minds of men. If you live in Maine, it may be that a man brought from Texas or Japan to engage in some transaction which will result in getting what you want. Here recently, I've had a problem that real estate prices have gotten too high in my area. I can no longer purchase them and rent them for a profit. The prices of homes are much higher than rent, which is good on paper, makes me look rich on paper, but you can't eat paper, right? It's like if you have a $10 million painting, you're worth 10 million bucks, but that painting ain't paying bills unless you sell it, right? I don't wanna sell, I'm into accumulation. I'm still in the accumulation phase. And so I just began to constantly think about this. I'm looking for a house, I need a house, I know there's a house, and I would begin to look every day, and I would, every realtor I bumped into, and I said, hey, I'm looking for a house, I need a house, I need a house. Guess what happened? I had someone stop me on the road. Now get this, I'm out jogging. She stops me on the road and says, hey, I know this is a weird question, but I have a friend who has a crush on you. And I laughed and said, well, unfortunately, I'm married. Well, the conversation continues. Guess who's selling their house? And guess what? It was listing that day. And I went to the house. I was the first bid, first offer, offered her a fair price. We hit it up, became friends, and I bought the house. I bought the house. Would that have happened if I hadn't have been holding that thought in formless substance, if I hadn't been repeating it, if I hadn't been open to communicating with my fellow man? Would that have happened? I've done this over and over and over and over. If so, though, lost my space. It's how you claim what is yours. It will be brought to you by the power of the supreme intelligence acting upon the minds of men, meaning other people will come into your life. I've often used the idea if you wanted to start a restaurant, saying you want to start a restaurant doesn't mean anything. But as you begin to hold the thought, guess what? What would you name your restaurant? What kind of food would you serve? Where would you buy the food? Where would you get your tablecloth? Where would you get your thing? Begin to plant this out and begin to build your dream book and have pages. Here's the menu. I've been working on this idea. Here's the logo. These are action steps. And guess what? You're going to bump into someone and you're going to show them this book. They're going to say, I've always wanted to invest in a restaurant, but I don't want to run the restaurant. It looks like you have a pretty good damn plan right here. This is the power of the book that I wrote called The Money Flow. I wrote a book when I had no authority to write a book. Who am I to write a book and declare myself a direct mail expert? I had zero expertise. You know what my expertise was when I declared myself an expert? I had been in a bunch of programs and lost a bunch of money. And I decided to flip that. I made my problem my message. And so instead of being a spineless crying baby, I began to use the will and the supreme intelligence and to hold and form a thought, and I began to show and begin to act in a certain way. Literally everything this book says, I began to manifest it in the physical form, and I began to write down what would become the blueprint that would make me millions of dollars. Millions. Recruit 100,000 people. Sell 65,000 books, millions upon millions of leads, and run my ads in national magazines, and you've never heard of me. And it's available to anyone. There were no barriers. I didn't need a certificate. No one asked me for a license. No one stopped me. The magazines were happy to help me because my transaction with them brought them what? Value. My printer was happy to work with me. Why? Because I printed millions of postcards. Lead brokers were happy to supply me with leads. Why? Because the transaction brought them value. And so a book began to transform my life. A book written in 1905, I began to take the principles and actually apply them. Implementation. Knowledge is not power. Applied knowledge is power. Do not forget for a moment that the thinking stuff is through all and in all and communicating with all, and it can influence all. That's the whole point of positive thinking. The whole point of believing in God or the universe or whatever it is you believe in. That if you don't believe that, there's no point in believing. The desire of the thinking stuff for a fuller life and better living has caused the creation of all the sewing machines already made. And it can cause the creation of millions more and will whenever men set in motion by desire and faith and by acting in a certain way. You know, in other words, I'm going to recruit another 100,000. Whether you're with me, join me, benefit from me, or make money, I'm going to sell another $65,000 in books. Why? Desire, faith, and action. I desire to. I want people to read them because I think it could change their life. I have faith that it will. I have certainty. See, faith and certainty are the same thing. It's the same thing. You're certain. That's called faith. And then you begin to act as if and talk as though. Not this crap from Missouri will show me, or soon as I get a check, I'm going to invest it all back in you. You sound poor. That's poor people talk. Oh, I'm going to put all of it back in. Yeah, no shit. But you got to make it first. The universe doesn't owe you anything. You owe it. The very fact that you're breathing, the very fact that you were born in America, you have so much to be grateful for. The fact that anyone would give you SSI, you don't deserve SSI. You don't deserve Social Security. You don't deserve a retirement. You deserve what you have, what you've saved, what you earned. Everything else is a gift from an infinite God. And yet people gripe about it. Every single day I talk with elderly people who bitch and complain about money they're getting for free. I get it, you paid in. I'm not arguing that. But how can you have more when you're not even grateful for what you're given? Entire chapter here on gratitude. And the reason they're broke and the reason they're poor is they're ungrateful. Simply start with gratitude and you would watch riches pour into your life. They have hardened hearts. They have no desire, no faith in anything. All you have to do is change that. Just change it. Does anyone benefit from a communication with you? Do you sow any seeds into the world that make other people prosperous? Is it always you? Zig Ziglar said, if you help enough other people get what they want, you'll get what you want. You can certainly have a sewing machine in your house, and it is just as certain as that you can have any other thing or things which you want and which you will use for the advancement of your own life and the lives of others. You need not to hesitate asking largely. It is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom, said Jesus. Original substance wants to live in you as it is possible, and it wants you to have all that you can or will use for the living of an abundant life. He goes on to give an example of a young boy sitting at a piano, and he says, I can hear the music, but my fingers can't play it. What does that mean? The fact that he can hear music that he can't play, that's the part of desire. How does faith play into this? Well, is it possible that the little boy could have his own piano? Of course it is. There's millions of pianos in the world. And so that desire starts to find, and then faith that he will get a piano and faith that he can play it. And then acting in a certain way means he begins to practice, he begins to learn, he begins to study. And guess what? That desire combined with faith put into acting in a certain way. And through doing all three of these, he's what? Thinking in a certain way now. And whether he knows it or not, he's following the principles in this book. And that's how you become a great piano player. You need not hesitate asking largely. Early on, I used to say, I need 10 houses. Why? I wanted 10 houses because if I had 10 houses that were each worth $100,000 and I put them on 20-year mortgages, in 20 years, I'd be a millionaire. Now, I was too naive and stupid to realize that the price of the houses would double in 20 years. I wouldn't be a millionaire. I'd be worth probably like $2.5 million. And I had my head down and I need 10 houses. I need 10 houses. And guess what? Why didn't I say 100? Why didn't I say 100 houses? The reason I didn't say 100, while I had the desire to own real estate, I didn't have the faith to believe I could buy 100. I had faith for 10, not faith for 100. I had faith for 10, not faith for 100. And that was my mistake. I thought too small. Thought too small. Most of you are thinking too small. The reason you don't have anything is you ask for little, so you get little. And the little bit you got, you're not grateful for, so you won't get any more. And the job you have, you're ungrateful and you're hateful and spiteful and you talk bad about it. And you wonder why the universe won't spread it, because, man, if they gave you a better job, you'd probably be just as bad there. And so if you're not good at the job you have now, why would God give you a new job? Doesn't even make sense. If you don't understand that, you're missing the whole point. He goes on to say, I recall one student, and we'll wrap up with this, he was told that he must get a clear picture of the things he desired so that the creative thought of them might be impressed upon formless substance. He was a very poor man living in a rented house and having only what he earned from day to day. And he could not grasp the fact that wealth was his. In other words, he lived paycheck to paycheck or on SSI or disability. So after thinking the matter over, he decided that he might reasonably ask for a new rug and for a floor for his best room, and maybe a coal stove for heating the house during the cold winter. Following the instructions given in the book, he obtained these things in a few months. And just like I did, I obtained the 10 houses in less than 7 years. And it dawned upon him that he had not asked for enough. Dawned upon me, I had not asked for enough. And he went through the house in which he lived, and he planned all the improvements that he would like to make. And he mentally added a bay window here and a room there until it was complete in his mind as if ideal home. And then he planned its furnishings. Holding the whole picture in his mind, he began living in a certain way, moving toward what he wanted. And he owns the house now and is rebuilding it after the form of the mental image. And now, with still larger faith, he is going on to greater things. And it has been unto him according to his faith. And it is so with you and with all of us. And so when you say you have faith, but you don't take the action to back up the things that you say, your faith is dead and it's not real. Bible says faith without works is dead. It's not real. Christ. In other words, when you meet the Christian who claims to be a Christian, but there's nothing in his life that says he's a Christian, he's full of shit. He's not a Christian. You can believe and not do it. Believing and faith are two different things. You can know how to do a push-up, but never do push-ups. And that's why I said, knowledge is not power. Applied knowledge is power. Your knowledge ain't worth a penny. You know all kinds of things that aren't worth a damn. Now they would be to somebody else, but to you, because you don't apply them, it's useless information. But if you flip that, if your mess became your message, you say, Gerald, but I'm in a wheelchair. Good. Use it in your marketing. Yeah, Gerald, but you don't understand. I'm good. It's your superpower. See, well, I'm gay and my family. Good, that's your superpower. Well, I'm not a good reader. Well, thank God we have audio. You have to flip it. Your mess, your problems become your message.